Come aboard, you people. Yeah, this is Starship Rokon Show. Off for another day of broadcast insolence. All right. A couple of important things of note here. I would like to start right here directly off the top because I am so totally sort of stupefied, amazed by the twist. I told you people so that this was going to happen, that other teams are going to get drawn into this baseball cheating scandal. And how was it that once we got past the Houston Astros, the first team to get drawn in some weird way were the Chicago White Sox, our beloved partners, the Chicago White Sox. Kevin Powell, you're the sports guy. Lauren Lapka, you were a sports reporter, now an anchor of great renown. I need to understand. So Jack McDowell, for those who are just joining us that hadn't heard this story, Black Jack McDowell was a pitcher for the White Sox.
Won a Cy Young.
Yes. I was a very incredible, very talented guy. Went on to New York, right, after that. He claims that there was a moment some 20-something years ago.
In the 80s, yeah.
In the 30s. In the mid to late 80s. That the White Sox were doing the exact same kind of trickery with a camera, and that they would light a light mm-hmm. near a sign.
Yeah, so there was a Gatorade sign out in center field at Old Comiskey Park that mm-hmm. he alleges had a light in it. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office, and a camera zoomed in on the catcher, so they were able to relay signs to batters. You know, it's sort of like, to his point, you know, he was talking about how, well, everybody knew stuff like this was going on. Is he telling the truth? I don't know. Ron Kittle joined John Williams earlier. Ron Kittle played for the Sox in the 80s. He said he knew nothing about this as well. So it's kind of like the steroid era. Like, after it all unraveled, everyone's like, well, everyone knew it was going on. Now everyone's kind of like, well, everyone knew the sign-stealing system was in place. I wouldn't be surprised at all if there are multiple teams that get nailed for doing this sort of thing in the modern era. I don't know if he's telling the truth about back in, and he actually never even played for La Russa. He started the year after La Russa left, so it gets a little vague.
Does Tony La Russa have to give up all of his right, World Series wins now? That is what I would like to know. Yeah. I want especially the St. Louis... all of that vacated. Yeah. I want the entire history of the St. Louis Cardinals vacated.
Yeah.
They were probably stealing signs, you know, back when they were throwing a ball that was made out of mush or whatever it was, right? And a guy would hit a stick mm-hmm. and they'd run back and forth. I don't know.
Like a mud ball?
Yeah, like a mud ball. Before there was even a baseball, they were juicing the mud. I mean, it's a little scary, right?
Well, it's scary, but also people who possibly are not telling the truth. How is anyone going to prove it from that long ago? Mm-hmm. You really think anyone has documented proof?
Well, there will be a lot of people. There'll be eyeball witness proof. However, that's going to be less relevant than what's happening now, which is, where is the league going to be in terms of penalties for this last year, 2 years, or 3 years, recent history stuff, where they will be able to document it. And there's going to be, I to your point, Lauren, I don't think that they're filling out paperwork and going, all right, now we get it. All right, you go on Amazon and you buy the spy camera, and I'm going to get the monitor. And oh, we need
tracing
an extra
the receipts.
iPad. Yes, exactly. You stand out there, put a guy in second base. Can you see it? I mean, I don't think that's exactly going to happen. But what I do think is going to happen is that baseball is going to have to deal with this in a big way. Mm-hmm. Because this trick, I mean, if they're talking about, if Jack McDowell is saying that the White Sox did this in the 1980s, then that means that every team in baseball has done this, and that they had the same sort of system with a light, not a trash can. And the White Sox worked their way into the Houston story, too, in a really interesting way, because it's Danny Farquhar, the White Sox pitcher, who actually brought it to the attention of his own guys. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, every time I was throwing a changeup, I heard that trash can going, and then we changed the signs, and they went back in between innings, mm-hmm. and they changed what the signs were going to be with the catcher, and then all of a sudden the trash can stopped banging.
Yeah, that was back in 2018, and he mentioned it after the game, and no surprise, as you just said, Ro, after they changed up the system they were using, the dugout got a whole lot less noisy for the Houston Astros. So it's a system that I think we're going to find out a lot of teams have been implementing.
Oh, it makes me so...
Now it's how do you feel about the past like we had the steroid era, now this is the sign stealing era. I don't know how this is all going to be. A lot of fans are not happy about this, obviously.
Right. Well, the technology piece. I mean, it's one thing if a guy who's leading off second base, you know, is trying to get the attention of the batter. That's been going on as we talked to the great Sun Timesman, Rick Tellender, earlier this week, said the first documented stealing of the sign was in 1878. The first time a sign was stolen by a base runner and transmitted in some way to the batter was 1878. So that's two centuries ago, according to my estimation.
But it's a whole other thing to have a system in place to try to make sure that no matter what, you're getting that message across.
Exactly right. It's the technology that's the problem. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Coming up now, we are going to have the alert of all alerts. I am on a full tilt panic about this storm that is approaching, because that's what I do. I like to panic about snow right before it happens. Demetrius Ivory is going to join us from the WGN-TV newsroom and weather center to talk about that. But first, Lauren, what's happening right now in the skies and on the road?
For News at 10, watch WGN, Micah Mazur, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
So Tom would be TV 10 as opposed to TV 12? Is that the way that we look at that?
Yeah.
Hope Demetrius looks at
TV 9.
Demetrius Ivory, meteorologist at WGN Television, is joining us right now.
Doing it all over again, right?
Yep. I am in full... Demetrius?
Yeah.
I'm in full panic right now. I have my Thunder shirt on. I've actually brought my hamper into the office so I could jump in it if it starts to snow, because I get worried about that.
Oh, it will very soon.
It will. All right. Now, I'm looking at all of these different apps that as we call them in Chicago, it's an app that looks at, shows me radars and gives me timings for all of this.
Oh, God.
I know. It's driving me.
No good conversation starts with, I'm looking at a bunch of different apps.
So my app says 115 minutes until this thing lands right here on top of my head.
Yeah.
What say you?
There's a little button that says delete app, because that's wrong. The snow's going to be, you're downtown, I'd put it 4 o'clock. Maybe even before that, you'll start to see some flakes start to fly. So okay. 115, what is that, like an hour and 50-something
minutes? Let's say they get 55 minutes.
No way. It's going to start very soon. We're already seeing it across our western counties. So, it's not going to stick. It is going to affect rush hour, though. I don't expect much during our rush hour. Although in Des Moines, they got a quick 3 inches in no time. I think it's going to just start to accumulate, but snow beginning at rush hour is a problem either way. So this rush hour commute this evening is going to probably be pretty tough. It's a very slow drive home.
Okay, so the snow is, like you said, it's really a visibility issue. It also freaks people out. It's going to make the road slick, but it's not necessarily going to snarl traffic the way that a major snowstorm would. Right?
I think it will because of the timing. I think that you should be prepared for a very long ride home this evening. I mean, quite frankly, because if we learn from the morning show, a half inch during rush hour is like 10 inches, on a Saturday. It's just everybody's trying to get on the roads, and nobody kind of says, well, it's going to take longer. Everybody gives themselves the same amount of time, and then you get accidents and stuff like that. So I do think that our rush hour, because of low visibility and because of snow beginning, like I get where you're going. It's not going to be the type of thing that you can't get through. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that much snow, but it is going to be snowing during rush hour, which is going to be a problem.
That's just never good. Yeah. And then it ends tomorrow during the day?
Yeah, I got it ending probably later tonight, actually, for Chicago and especially south. So what we expect is a lot like last week, unfortunately, where there's the rain snow line, the 32-degree line is going to ride in from the south. We do think it's going to make its way as far south as southern Cook County and across, Gary, Indiana, those areas, which means they may completely change over to snow. So for their forecast, it would be a much lower number, 1 to 3 inches tops. But then as you get north, you may not make that change over toward Rockford, DeKalb, Kane counties, Boone, Winnebagoes. You may stay snow for much of the day, if not all the day tomorrow, and that snow doesn't end until around the afternoon tomorrow.
And then in downtown and north, the city, and then near north suburbs and western suburbs, and you're in western suburbs.
Yeah.
What do you anticipate in terms of snowfall totals?
Snowfall totals, I think 2 to 4. So kind of the meat, or I wouldn't say that, the middle of our viewing area. I don't want to, every time I say like Chicago's like the center point, folks in other counties get mad because their county's the center point. But so like the area where most people live, which includes Chicago and like you said, due west, mm-hmm. 2 to 4 inches is going to be possible there. As you get north in the Lake County and across the state line, 4+. And as you get south of Chicago, I think 1 to 2, maybe 1 to 3 in some areas, you know, toward LaSalle. As you get west, but if you're in Kankakee County, those areas, I think 1 to 2 is pretty good.
Okay. Well,
okay. So go south if you're nervous.
What about the waves? Do we have to worry about that this weekend? Like
yes,
last
like,
weekend?
Well,
that
great
was
question.
Horrible.
No, we're going to have winds coming in from the southeast. So how about this? All that happened, all that flooding, those big powerful waves are now going to shift to the other side of the lake.
Thank God.
Yeah.
No, they need it. It's
interesting how the life of the lake, I mean, you know, it drops a foot on one side and rises a foot on the other side, on this side last week. And then this week, it's going to be the exact opposite. It's just like a big bowl of cereal that just keeps tipping. But
yeah.
The waves are going to be on the Michigan side this time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I see how you like it, Michigan.
Yeah.
You sent them over here before last weekend.
That.
You take it.
Yeah.
The beach erosion and your multi-million-dollar houses right there in the fancy part, right? And then, my basement flooded.
I've seen a number of those houses up there, and I think, boy.
I don't feel sorry for those people.
Yeah. I guess the insurance is not a big deal.
It is interesting, though. As a kid, I would go over to those beaches. My dad loved that side of the lake because it was warmer. And I always thought it was because there was a nuclear plant over there. It turns out it was prevailing winds, but whatever. The beaches used to be pretty big. Like, you know, the Indiana Dunes and then the State Park and then the Warren Dunes up in Michigan. Those beaches were pretty wide.
Yeah.
And now, no so wide. I mean, it's freaky.
And it's a problem all over the Great Lakes. I mean, the levels are up in a big way. The problem is, and I've worked with Army Corps of Engineers on a number of stories before, the problem is, you know, what can you do? I mean, to fix that is an extremely expensive task. I mean, it costs so much to say, well, let's just divert the lake, you know, divert water. So it's one of those things where you just got to watch them go. And then when the lake levels go down, the beach will be back. And then, you know, watch them go again.
Right. Because it is cyclical, right?
It's generally cyclical. It all depends on, you know, the rain that we get and the snow up north and, you know, how much melt we get and things like that. But it is one of those things where, you know, would you be okay with, you know, a couple hundred dollars of your tax money going to fix this beach?
No.
You know, because which honestly, the water might recede and then now you got a pretty wall that costs, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
The Tribune just did a story yesterday about the beaches. There's two beaches that will never come back now on the north side, up near the Evanston border. And they showed that they've replaced whatever sand there was left, which wasn't a lot, with rocks and makes it not a beach anymore. You can't really go, even walking across those rocks would be uncomfortable for people or potentially dangerous for them. So it's just sort of basically a no-go zone.
Right. And there's really nothing. That's all you can do. I mean, you know, we spoke to some folks in those neighborhoods. I think it was Rogers Park who said, oh, it'd be nice if we could get our beach back. And it's, you know, that would be great. But Mother Nature is going to be way too costly to turn back in that case. I mean, you know, do you want a beach or do you want like I said, do you want a couple of $100 of your tax money every year to go to it? And that's just a guess.
I'm so glad you're so fiscally responsible. Demetrius Ivory, WGN-TV Weather. All right, let me ask you this.
Yes.
We had a caller ask this question, then immediately hang up. And I think it's an excellent question.
Okay.
It seems like the wackier weather is further north in the winter and then further south in the summer. Like the I-80 line, everybody talks about that magic line of weather demarcation, that you get the more violent stuff in the summer down there and then you get the more violent stuff north of that in the winter.
I would say no doubt about it. I mean, there is when you're looking at temperatures which are in the upper 30s, which is warm for us. I mean, typical high would be only in the low 30s. When you get that, you get the rain snow line, which plays a role in the forecast. So that's why last week was so tough. Because, you know, you're talking about an inch, maybe 2 inches of water. The ratio is going to be, you know, just kind of a throw out there, 1 to 10. 1 inch of rain equals 10 inches of snow. Some of it's going to be rain. Some of it's going to be snow.
Right.
So if you got an inch and a half of rain and a half inch that's snow, that's 5 inches, right? But let's say you miss that by, let's say it's an inch, then that's 10 inches of snow. So, you know, it's one of those things where when you're talking about temperatures, which are at that marginal line, which is warm for us, but that's where we've been. That's where you have the rain snow line that plays a role in this, in these things. And it gets really like this time we could be looking at 1 to 3 inches, south, 5 plus 6 plus inches north. If that line stays south, we're going to get way more than that.
Well, and the warmer it is during a snowstorm, like a snowstorm that where it's 30 degrees in ambient temperature versus 20 degrees,
right?
The snow production at that at the warmer level is much higher.
Oh, yeah, it's heavier, and it's heavier snow. Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. I mean, you're basically talking about snow rain, you know. So it can really that's where you get the big flakes.
Yeah,
that's the best way of explaining
it. Yeah.
When you get that warm snow, you just get the big flakes where one snowflake covers up half your windshield, right?
Right.
So now you're
heart attack snow, as they call it.
Right. So now you're talking about how quickly does that visibility go down when you got the big huge flakes that are really wet. That's where it really drops the visibility and piles on pretty quickly. Yeah. So this is going to be one of those snows where, again, we think big flakes, we think low visibility. But the good news is by tomorrow afternoon, it's basically out of here.
All gone.
Yeah. Now, we do want to stress to folks, even if you get a little bit of snow, clean it out of your driveway, because temperatures are going to fall into the single digits into early Sunday. So, you know, I sometimes do that when it's just an inch of snow. I just say, forget it. That's going to turn to a sheet of ice. So you got to try to get down to the concrete there sometime during the day tomorrow, because if not, it's all going to be ice, and it'll be ice for 3 days.
Oh, it's going to be super cold on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday?
Sunday, Monday, and early Tuesday, yeah. So,
and then do we break out of that later in the week?
Yeah, then we break out. We start to warm up a little bit with highs back into the 30s after that.
So I'll leave you with this note. This is always my favorite week of the winter now, because it's on Sunday, the 19th, is the day that the mean temperature starts actually going up.
Yes.
For the first time in 6 months.
I love how you're so... those days are on my calendar, too.
Right. I mean, I think about that because, you know, it's like it's sort of like that moment in July or like the end of July where you go, uh-oh, it's getting... Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Or you get that first autumnal sort of blast of air, and you're like, whoa. And this is the opposite. Now, unfortunately, you don't feel it as much here.
Right.
But at least it's a psychological win.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, we're making a turn.
You
here.
Think climatologically, we've bottomed out.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, it can't get worse than this climatologically.
No.
Like, in terms of, you know, the way that the way the Earth is tilting, this is as bad as it's going to get. It's only up from here.
It's only up from here. Yeah, right, by average.
All right, Demetrius Ivory, WGN-TV Weather. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. All right. Bye. This is his Super Bowl right here because of the, you know, this is what they do. Because they're weather guys. The one thing that Demetrius does not share with me is panic. He does not, he seems like way too cool of a cucumber. I'll be honest with you.
Well, it's probably for the best when you got a lot of crazy weather.
Yeah. No. I prefer to be crazy during crazy weather.
Well, then the whole city would be panicked if he did it like you, Ro.
Yes. Well, I assume they are. All right, let's talk to the news people, shall we? Kim Gordon standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's the Rokon Show right here on 720 WGN. There she is, Lourdes Duarte from the WGN-TV Newsroom. She is really your most important anchor at WGN-TV News.
Wow.
Yeah. No.
I'll send you the check later.
Yes, don't tell that to Donlin, because he gets very jealous about
that,
Joe Donlin.
He does, yeah.
All right, so what's coming up? Obviously, okay. The weather.
The weather. Yeah, bad evening commute for everybody, of course, and then an even worse weekend with possibly 5 inches of snow that may come down. So, you know, just basically stay home this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, Netflix and chill, as they call it. So just do that.
What does one do if they're Netflixing and chill with themselves? What is that? What is that called?
I
think I know what that's called. Pizza. All right.
Okay. And then as far as headlines, we were talking about these driver's licenses that are going to be reinstated. You've got about 55,000 drivers who had suspended licenses over unpaid tickets. Well, the governor is now saying, look, we're going to do away with that. No worries, your license will be reinstated. If in the future you have unpaid tickets, we are not going to take your license away. They say that this will impact low-income families, people in low-income communities the most, because oftentimes they just don't have the money to pay those tickets. And so it's either pay the ticket or buy food for your family. So
what
this
is
why he's doing that.
But may I then ask, mm-hmm. I mean, this is not, I'm not asking you directly this, but I'm asking this in, I'm just screaming this into the air. Then what is the point for anybody to pay their tickets? What's going to what would happen? What's the consequence for not paying?
I don't know. I guess you want to be a good guy and pay your tickets and do what you're told.
Yeah, but what if everybody else is not doing what they're told? I don't know. I saw this in Lord of the Flies or something. I don't remember. There was said that, you know, this I understand what they're saying here, because there's people who can't get to their jobs because they've got suspended licenses and then they can't get, you know, whatever they're going to do. And then they spend the night in jail because they had a suspended license, even though Kim Fox is letting a guy who just shot six people out. But you know, with the suspended license, you're going to go. I know I'm going to stay the night. But I have no idea what the incentive then would be for, you know, the rest of us.
Does it, though, go on your record? Maybe you do get your license and you can drive and that's fine, but does it go on your record? And then if, let's say, an employer is doing a background check and it shows up that you've got, I don't know, I'm just guessing here, right?
But there's different types of tickets here, too, right? There's a difference between the parking tickets, obviously, which I used to accumulate in shoeboxes. I mean, I would just, back when we had the yellow tickets in Chicago, before they went orange, the yellow ticket was basically a cop stopped by your car and put this on it, is all it meant. And you had, and the people used to take those literally to City Hall and hand them to their aldermen, generally with like a $20 bill, even though it was like a $1,500 worth of tickets. And then the aldermen would go, okay, it's no problem. Thank you.
I'll take it.
Yep, I got it. Don't worry about it. They would non-suit them. And then during the Harold Washington administration, all of that changed. Mm-hmm. They brought in an outside contractor that came up with the orange computerized tickets, and then they started booting cars, and all hell broke loose.
Okay, so if it's for parking, so then I don't have to pay my meter anymore either, right?
That would be
Is
nice.
That what we're...
Texters are making a good point. Does it affect your credit, though?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
So... But let's face it, if you're not paying your parking tickets, you really care about your credit. I mean, I think this is what's happening here. I'm a rule follower, though. See, that's the problem. I'm a rule follower, but I don't like when the other people don't follow the same rules that I have to follow. And it makes me nuts, and I don't know what to do.
I need to do more research on this.
Yes,
I'm going
to
find out.
You get right on that.
Okay.
And you tell Donlin to get right on it, too. When's Ben coming back?
I think he's back on Monday.
Mm.
You miss him already, don't you?
Mm-mm.
I know.
Mm-mm.
I know.
Mm-hmm. No, we're going on a trip together in a couple of weeks.
You are?
Yeah.
Can I ask where?
Out of the country.
What?
I know.
Thoughts
You've
and prayers
agreed
to
go out of the
Ben.
Country
yeah,
with him?
I did agree to go out of the
it's
country
a big
with
mistake.
Him.
Yeah,
along with another troublemaker who shall not be named.
Yes. And actually, we're going to a fourth troublemaker's wedding. And that's the problem.
Oh, I foresee an upcoming episode of Locked Up Abroad.
Oh, yes. So do I.
I'll turn off my phone that weekend.
Yeah, you should. And
I'm
we're going
answering.
To. And I think Ben claims he speaks Spanish, but...
He does not speak Spanish.
I don't think he does. He actually asked me a couple of weeks ago. It's almost like we're the odd couple now. He asked me a couple of weeks ago, hey, do you speak Spanish? I go, no. I speak a little bit of French from my childhood. And because, you know, I don't know, I'm from Paris or what. Well, that's what they taught us in school back then. And he goes, oh, man, are we dead? Are we dead?
He was in the last telenovela, though. So maybe he learned something.
Yeah, whatever he says when we get off the airplane in our undisclosed location in a Spanish-speaking nation, and when the junta comes and picks us up and takes us to the wedding, in the half tracks and in the jeeps, I told him I want to sit right in back of the 50 caliber in case that happens. So I just know that we might actually need your help.
Okay.
You might have to translate for
I'll answer your call, not Ben's.
Yes, so. Thank you, though. You're thank
welcome.
You, Lourdes.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
Day. All right,
you too. All right, the WGN-TV news starts at 4 o'clock, right there on Channel 9. Let's check in now. Lauren Lapka, traffic and weather. Coming up after the top of the hour on the Ro Khan Show, we have a way that we are going to make you so happy and healthy and wealthy all at the same time. I sound like an infomercial right now, but I am not. We have one of our buddies from the Consumer's Checkbook. You know, you pay like a lot of money to get to the Consumer's Checkbook. There are ripoffs this time of year for
everything.
Everything. Flowers for Valentine's Day and then spring vacations, and people start paying for summer vacations, airfare deals, all that sort of stuff, resort fees. People get gouged because you're right now you're trying to figure out what you're going to spend to go somewhere once the weather turns, or what are you going to do about Valentine's Day? Well, we have an expert who's going to tell you exactly how to avoid all of those issues. Kevin Brassler, who's been with us before, and he is excellent at this, and we will help you all the way through that. So don't worry about that. That's coming your way. And later on in the program, I have to say that our friend Frank Ignatius is going to be back. He's a, he was a bookie, and now he's got a very important business in Indiana in which he takes bets legally. Not that he was ever taking bets illegally. I mean, it was, you know, total legal. You know, it was all fine. But what I'm saying is he understands the making of the book. And we've got the big, not only do you have the big AFC and NFC championship games this weekend, you also, and this is really the key, they also have the odds for the 2020 baseball season coming out. And I think the odds are that there will not be a 2020 baseball season because every single team will be suspended from action.
Yeah.
But that's what it's going to be. Story that, so one wonders, do they not? This is one of those studies that when you ask the question, who thought to do this study?
Uh-huh.
Why did they do it?
Yeah.
That younger folks are people twice as likely than the older generation to only clean their bathroom once a month. Once a month.
The entire bathroom.
The entire bathroom once a month.
What?
Right. So if you're, this is basically born after or before 1980 issue. So if you're born after 1980, you are not cleaning your bathroom.
I would like to object. I clean my bathroom like a crazy person.
How often do you clean in your bathroom?
I would say, well, each item is different. So the toilet always has one of those fancy cleaners in the top part.
I need to get one of those.
Yes, they're phenomenal. But otherwise, still the toilet about every few weeks because sometimes grime will still.
Oh, I go every way more few than weeks.
I'm going every like, hour what's... on the hour. Yeah, whether I've used it or not.
I'm not as disgusting as you guys, okay? Let's make that
sexist.
Clear. And also, I don't have to clean up the little hairs that are all over the sink like you guys.
So, actually,
you know what? No, men should be cleaning up their bathrooms more often, not necessarily young people.
Well, I'll say that different parts of the bathroom are getting cleaned more frequently because, yes, we do have beard trimmings and we are just generally more disgusting than female. So I would say I clean like the sink counter area of, I don't know, at least a quick wipe down every few days.
Okay. And the same study also looked at the use of bed linens. How often does one clean their bed linens?
Every week.
Their sheets.
Do you do every week?
Yes.
I'm probably once every couple weeks.
Oh, my God. I do it after every sleep. I'm changing them. I put plastic over them. When I sleep, it's a little sweaty, I'll be honest. But I just figure that I'm not going to get the sheets dirty. That's important. Just over a fifth of men, just over 20% of men, admit to washing their sheets once a month.
Ew.
Once a month. Ugh. Baby boomers were the most fastidious sheet changers. Nearly 52% did it every week, compared to 36% of people who were born after 1980.
Clean my sheets the second I get
it
home.
It is like the best feeling to get into a made bed yes. with fresh sheets.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also a geographical overlay to this. This study found that residents of Hawaii spend the largest proportion of their lives on dusting, vacuuming, and mopping.
Hmm.
I don't understand that, quite honestly.
Maybe the sand?
Maybe. That must be it. But it's... They're very fastidious there in the Aloha State. They also have the highest life expectancy in the United States.
Yeah, because it's awesome over there.
Right. Because you're outside a lot. There's a lot of exercise to be had. Everybody's, you know, you go to Hawaii. Like in Hawaii, it's mostly tourists like in Honolulu. But you get a sense that the residents, they know what they're doing. They're taking the tourists' money. And that is working very well for them.
It is expensive to live there, though.
Yes, that's true. New Yorkers are tied with Michiganders as the country's second cleanest people.
Hmm.
Spending 136 hours of their lifetime performing domestic tasks. I spend 136 hours a week doing... Is there... Jeff, how many hours are there in a week? They're a producer.
Your house is always very clean.
Yeah. Well, it's because I do.
You have an entire maid service living with you.
Staff.
Yes, I have. Well, I have a. I do a lady who comes and cleans, but I clean up, if I leave anything in the kitchen, like on the kitchen counter, if there's anything wrong in the kitchen counter, like even if I just made myself a sandwich and there's one crumb, I'm spraying it, the whole thing down with antibacterial, you know, spray and the whole deal.
I've become much cleaner after I moved out. I don't know, what was that, 3 years ago or so, where my parents would laugh if I ever told them I was like clean now, but when I moved out, I'm like, everything's got to be super clean for me.
312-91-7200, by the way.
Well, and when you live with other people, you feel obligated.
My roommate's a neat freak as well.
Yeah, wait. But that's the other thing. And I have always been the neater of when I have been in relationships where I'm living with another human being in the house. I have, it's basically two wives and a fiance and a few girlfriends along the way. I have always been the cleaner of them. I have always been like the neat.
Well, you're also
freak
a
one.
Hypochondriac, so I guess that makes sense.
Well, some of them were too. I don't know. There was a whole cast of them, but the thing is, it's like I just am so not interested, and there's this stereotype that men are the dirty ones. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That's not necessarily the case, my friends.
I will also say too that. We have to shave and we're just, you know, generally going to be a little bit more filthier than women. But women, when it comes to the bathroom,
there's a lot of stuff.
There's stuff, a lot of stuff. Everywhere.
Half the counter is stuff.
And
forget that. How about just leaving stuff on the floor? What about that?
It's true.
There seems to be a thing about especially single women's bedrooms, I have found. Not that I'm doing an inspection, but just in case I am, that they have a tendency to like you go over and maybe you're having a glass of wine, and you say, where's the bathroom? Oh no, don't go in there.
Hold it until the restaurant.
But yeah, and in part because sometimes you have to walk past the bedroom, and then I look at the bedroom, and I was like, oh my god. And then I'm immediately.
That's because they're going through like 8 costume changes for you. Be thankful.
Girls taking selfies and posting it on Instagram, and they have like a dirty bedroom in the background, clothes all over the floor. I'm like, that's the picture you're going with?
All right. I know we have a lot of texters responding to this as well. So I'm telling you right now, I want full and complete apologies from all of womanhood for claiming that they are cleaner and more organized.
Only in the bathroom is my claim.
Yeah. All right. And the bedroom floor. I'll bet you right now, if we could have a live cam shot of what your bedroom floor looks like versus Kevin's bedroom floor, I'll bet you there's more clothing and stuff and, you know, maybe papers and a laptop. And
yeah, there's
a thing.
Probably about 9 items of clothing on the floor.
And then some
really?
Other. Yeah.
I've got nothing on
right,
the floor.
Right, nothing on the floor. Ben, nothing on the floor. The sweatpants may be draped over a chair.
9 and a crossword puzzle that I was working on.
All right. All right, that's it. Let's... Coming up, we are going to save you money, save you huge money, not only for Valentine's Day, but also we're saving you money for your spring break or your summer vacation, because we got an expert who's going to tell you how you are getting gouged by the travel companies, by the airlines, and by the flower industry. So stay right here. Do not move an inch. News from the Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom comes your way in 2 minutes. Rokan Show right here, 720 WGN. We're going to save some people some money right now. Kevin Browser's with us, and he's from the Consumer's Checkbook. And the Consumer's Checkbook is a really great resource, I would say, Kevin, for letting people know that maybe everything that's being sold to them is not the best deal that they're going to possibly get, or they're going to get pressured or hassled or whatever. Yeah. And my favorite thing is this time of year is the inflation in the flower business as people get ready for Valentine's Day.
Right.
And my favorite is the gouging that happens on the 13th
yeah.
and the 14th.
Yeah.
Right for the last right. minute. Oh, dude, I forgot. I forgot St. Valentine's Day, which a lot of dudes do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's usually a premium, especially to have flowers delivered.
Oh, yeah.
On Valentine's Day, even the day before Valentine's Day. There's no extra premium having them delivered the day after, though. So if you're looking to save a lot of money,
but man.
Really risky. You have to, that's a pro move there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not a pro move. That basically is like, you're like a Walenda if you're doing that.
Right.
There's every chance you're going to fall into a volcano.
But there are a couple camps here. I mean, one camp is if you want to have the biggest, best arrangement delivered, then, yeah, you are stuck using a local florist.
Mm-hmm.
There are big, we found, price differences even among those local florists for the same types of arrangements.
What's the best way to figure that out, though?
Well, I think you do have to shop around a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I would call some florists and tell them what you have in mind or tell them what the item number is from catalog you're looking at.
Can you pre-buy? Can you say, I'll give you $40 now, which would be $80 in a couple of weeks?
A lot of florists, actually, there is a penalty. If you schedule it early enough, then the cost is lower than if you try to do it at the last minute. So that is one thing you can do is give yourself plenty of time. Don't do it at the last minute, which is what I do every year.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you do, there's another camp, which is, I call it, it's the good enough camp, which is I'm in, which is that if you pick them up yourself at a supermarket, you'll save a ton of money because supermarkets, by and large, charge less than half what local florist shops will. Now, do they have the same buying standards as the best florist shops? No.
Does your wife know that they don't?
Right.
Yes.
It depends. I mean, again, it's the good enough camp that I live in on this. Look, it's the difference between spending $100 on a bouquet versus
Kevin Brassler from Consumer's Checkbook, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you say it's good enough, is that what you say to her when you give them the flowers?
No.
Give her the flowers?
No.
No?
No. And hopefully she doesn't listen to this program.
Yeah,
and
let's
so
just hope.
I can continue to get away with this.
That's good enough.
But the price differences are big, not just among local florists, but the supermarkets themselves, they have price differences also, although they are just extraordinarily lower priced than the big supermarkets. The difference is
we're screwed. There's no real great way to get a really good product here at a lower price, you think?
I don't think so. I think that with florists and actually garden centers, it's one of those are the few categories we look at checkbook.org where we actually see a relationship between price and quality. There's a saying, you get what you pay for, and that actually doesn't hold true with
really?
Most of the services we look at. It doesn't hold true for dentists or veterinarians or auto repair shops or plumbers or any of these things we study. But for garden centers and florists, it does hold true. Usually, the more you pay, the better quality product you're getting. And that makes sense because these are living organisms. And,
right.
and the higher the buying standards, the more likely your flowers are going to last a long time and be of high quality.
Right. It's almost like a food product in that respect, right?
Yeah.
Because they have to go to a market. Those florists have to go to a flower market every day or every couple of days and buy from them. And they have to have proprietary relationships.
Well, the local floral shops where they're not selling tons and tons of these things, they can afford to have higher buying standards than, say, a large supermarket chain, which needs to buy a lot of flowers and unload them. And really, flowers in general have become an impulse buy.
What do you think?
You see them everywhere.
The flower,
they're kind of the way out the door, you can buy them now.
What's the markup on the flower? They're selling you a rose for...
It's 800% plus.
Are they paying quarter for the rose or they're charging you $5 for?
Especially for flowers because they're perishable. They have to get them here quickly from Ecuador or California or wherever they're coming from. It's not like they're growing them in greenhouses in the Chicago area.
Like
and so the air
stuff.
Freight alone costs a lot of money. But even on the retail side, the markup, it's tremendous. It's hundreds of a percent.
All right. So. Okay. Kevin Brassler's with us. Now we're going to move on to the hotel booking sites. We're going to do that on the other side. Kevin Brassler is from Consumer's Checkbook, checkbook.org, which is a great site. And for WGN listeners, this requires a paid subscription normally. But for WGN listeners, what are we doing for them? We're going to get it free for you at checkbook.org/WGN radio/free.
Yep.
How about that? You're a very generous man.
We're a nonprofit group. We don't carry any ads. We don't take any money from the businesses we evaluate. The advice we give out is always free. You can go to our site and read all these articles that we have and our advice. But the ratings of local services here in the Chicago area, we do charge for it because we have to pay our bills somehow. And, a subscription isn't even expensive. It's $28 for or $34 for 2 years or something like that. But for listeners, we're giving a one-time free access.
On the other side, we're going to talk about if you're getting ready for your spring break or your summer vacation, how not to get gouged, because there's a lot of gouging going on right now. But first, Lauren Lapka, what's happening on the roads and the skies? We have got our friend Kevin Bressler in the studio with us, and Kevin is saving us money as he's with Consumers Checkbook. And it's checkbook.org. People can go check that out. Now, normally there's a subscription fee for this, but we are giving it to you for free because Kevin just decided to do that in exchange for us talking to him. And that is checkbook.org/WGN radio/free. So this is a really great opportunity because, again, like you said, it's a you're a nonprofit. You're not taking money from advertisers and you're not changing your positions on some of this kind of, you know, it's sort of in a lot of ways, it's a consumer guide along the same lines as Consumer Reports.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best example. We're actually modeled after Consumer Reports. And when we got started 40 years ago, we got started with seed money from Consumer Reports. And so, like them, we try to keep businesses that we evaluate, especially at an arm's length, really try to not get embroiled in kind of financial conflicts. And,
right, exactly.
And we're here, we're a public group. We're here to help the public. We're consumer advocates. We're here to help consumers not to, you know, make money off of these businesses.
Do you have any service ratings yet for dispensaries, or is it too early?
Kevin Powell, it's
too early. I do think that it's interesting. It's an interesting question because a lot of the marijuana industry in general wants to be somewhat, on one hand, treated as a medical use, as a treatment for different medical conditions, yet they don't want to be regulated as the drug industry is. And so it is, there's this conflict, I think, going on between those two ideals, right? We haven't looked at them. I'll be honest, I'm a little afraid to. I'm afraid, you know, people will be annoyed with us for having done that because it is somewhat of a controversial
thing. You will technically harsh their buzz is what you will do if you tell them that this dispensary is better than that dispensary.
I will say that I think it's disturbing that it hasn't really been studied what's in some of these different strains that are being sold. I
mean, yeah, that's a whole other issue.
That's a whole other problem. Mm-hmm. And again, the industry itself is trying not to be regulated, trying not to have, you know, there's stuff being studied in a laboratory by government scientists.
Right. So that's a whole other deal. Well, CBD, well, first of all, you also need, the federal government's got to get on board here and change all of that. And I think CBD itself is, 90% of it is Scamaloma. Yeah. You know, it's just all it is. It's they're selling it for anything. You're happy, you're sad, your muscle hurts, it make you a better driver, see better at night. Yeah. I don't know, whatever it is, it's crazy. All right, but let's get back to it. This is everybody will probably have to encounter this sometime in the next year. If you're gonna go away for a weekend, or you take the family on a trip over the summer or spring break, a lot of people go away on. There are so many travel pressure scams, other kinds of ways that people can avoid excessive fees. Let's start with the booking sites. You go to a booking site and you say, all right, here are the dates that you want to go. And they say, oh, there's half a room left. If you go for it right now, we'll get you to the half a room. We'll let you know. If you want a full room, it's going to be more.
Right. Yeah, you know, this is something we've noticed also for the last several months, is that really almost all these travel booking sites, you go there and it says, as you scroll through the search results, they say only one left, only two rooms left, only eight
at
left
this
at
price.
This price. And then a lot of them, then it says sold out. And actually, no, Rose, sometimes it just says one left or only one left. It doesn't even say at a certain price. So we dug into this. We spent weeks investigating these claims to see whether they were worth anything or not. We found that by and large, all of these claims of scarcity are false claims. They're being dishonest with their customers about what's going on. That we found over and over again that the hotels where they were reporting that there's only one room left, there were plenty of rooms left, often dozens of rooms left. Often there were many rooms left at that price that they were advertising as having only two rooms left.
So how do you get around that?
Well, I think you have to be very careful. First of all, do not be pressured into booking a stay thinking, oh, look, there's hardly any availability left. I'd better deal with this now. I'd better not talk to my spouse or shop around or use a different site. Don't be pressured at all.
Especially if it's in the distance here, a couple months away or whatever.
Yeah, and don't assume that the prices are going to go up the closer to your stay. Now, airfare does tend to go up in price the closer you get to your trip. Hotels, we find that the prices tend to go down.
Are there sites that are better than others?
I'd say that really almost all of them out there these days are guilty of doing this. A few don't. Kayak, for example, doesn't. Trivago doesn't. These are aggregator sites.
Right.
And Google doesn't. Google's travel website doesn't do this. These are
That's actually a pretty good
sites.
I have to say that the Google, from my experience with the Google travel site, has been pretty good.
I think the three sites I mentioned are good places to start. Another site, TravelZoo, doesn't have these claims about low availability. The problem is all those sites I just mentioned, except TravelZoo, are owned by the companies that own all these other sites, Expedia, Booking.com, all these others,
right,
that do advertise these shortages. And often Kayak and Gooly, they'll send you off to these sites that advertise these shortages. So they're not exactly clean on this.
But it comes up, like on a Google search, it basically comes up in buckets.
Right. Google is just going out and grabbing, you know, everything they can see on the web and returning it to you. And then they're getting a commission for sourcing that business to these companies.
But all those people are, right?
All those sites are.
That's how that site works.
Right, and that's...
It turns out these hotel rooms are not as expensive as we think they are.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of money changing hands, and it's interesting. There's really only two companies that own all these different websites. It's Expedia and Booking. They own... Booking.com owns a lot of different sites. They own Hotwire. They own Travelocity. I mean, most of the sites you've heard of are owned by just two companies, and those two companies are really controlling what's going on here. And they're the ones that are really trying to manipulate you into buying now and not waiting around and shopping around with these false claims.
If people are going to try to get away, especially in Chicago, you know, like spring break, kids are going to be off. A lot of people try to get out of town, try to get someplace warmer. Resort fees.
Yeah.
I saw this in your article. This is just amazing. We're talking, by the way, to Kevin Brassler, in case you're wondering, executive editor of Consumers Checkbook, checkbook.org. And if you go to checkbook.org/WGN radio/free, you get it for free today, because it's normally a paid subscription to do this, and it's a not-for-profit. So you can, you know, leave a dollar or 10 or 50 or 100, whatever it is, because this will help you save money. The resort fees, back to this, are they... Can you get around a resort fee?
No, unfortunately. And I've been, since they started charging these things, I travel a lot for work, and I get hit with them all the time. I've just gotten to this point where every time they say they're going to charge me one, I complain about it. And sometimes they refund it. Usually they don't. But at least I've made my voice heard on this, I feel like. This has become a real scourge, I think, in the whole hotel industry. I mean, on the one side, you have the hotel booking sites, these big travel booking sites that have these false claims about availability. That's really the booking site's fault for doing that. But the hotels themselves are guilty of basically just charging you extra fees. It's a bait and switch operation where they say the rate is $200 a night, but it's really $220 a night because they're going to charge you an extra $20 in this facility fee or resort fee. We looked at hundreds and hundreds of hotel properties and found that the most common in New York and Orlando, Miami, Vegas.
Well, there's also like taxes,
there's a lot of tourists.
I mean, and then you throw the taxes down, which they only come onto your bill at the very end, and you're like, in Chicago, talk about it. That's a huge tax in Chicago.
Yeah,
double-digit tax.
I've said for years that hotels should just show you an all-in price. Airlines do it. Car rental companies do it. Mm-hmm. Why aren't hotels doing it? Well, and hotels are making it even worse because they're adding in these junk fees that you don't even get anything for them, and they're hiding the true cost of your trip, because when you go to these booking sites, even when you go to the hotel site, it returns you a rate of, say, $229 a night, and you're using that to compare the different hotels' prices. But they also charge different resort fees, and some don't charge them at all. And so they're just making it as difficult as they can for you to compare costs across different hotel properties that you're considering. I do think it's a bait and switch. I do think that this is actually illegal activity. And actually, the state's attorney generals agree with me. They met last year, and they basically said that, you know, we're going to take steps to put a stop to this.
Yeah.
The D.C. Attorney General's office is right now suing Marriott for it, and the Nebraska one, I think, is... I don't know which hotel they're suing.
Well, there's only a couple chains left, right? I mean,
yeah, and there's been a lot of consolidation in the hotel industry.
That's true.
Too,
all right, and right before we let you go, Kevin, and thanks for being here, and thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
For all of our listeners, checkbook.org/WGN radio/free if you want to get a free account at Consumers Checkbook. The payment app, I saw this in your list as well.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because I just signed up for this because I had I don't know. It's like it's. People are constantly, my credit card gave me an offer to sign up for one of these, you know, like a Venmo kind of a thing. Right. And they said it just makes it easier in case to split a check. Which, by the way, I just want to let you know something, Kevin. In my life, no one has ever volunteered to split a check with me. So but if you want to split a check, then everybody pays in, and so your credit card will figure this out using one of these payment apps that sends the money back into your account. I feel very vulnerable.
You should. That. Yeah, there's a big problem with these. It used to be there was PayPal was the alternative, and that was the one alternative. And now all the major banks have a payment app also that you can use. And then there's Gazelle, there's Venmo, there's all these.
The problem is
when you buy something using a credit card, you get certain protections. And the big protection you get as a consumer is from the Federal Fair Credit Billing Act, which says if you buy something and it's not delivered or it's not of the quality you expected or it wasn't as promised, you can dispute the charge with your credit card company. The other big protection is if there's fraud on your credit card, somebody buys a bunch of stuff that you didn't buy, some criminal did, you don't got to pay for all that. You just tell your credit card company that's fraud and you're not responsible. These payment apps, that's not the case by and large. That when you use,
but if my credit card asked me, because it goes directly to your bank account, you don't have that same protection.
Because you should check to see what kind of protections you get. Because a lot of Venmo is a good example. Actually, it's not built to be something to use to buy things with. It's built to
send
you
money.
And I share money, right? As friends, not to buy things with it. And that's why you don't get any fraud protection. A big problem with these things is people send money to someone. The nice thing about this, you don't need a bank account anymore. You just need a cell phone or a phone number or even an email address, and you can send money around and pay for things. But the problem is, if you send money to the wrong phone number or email address, it's up to that person to be nice enough to give it back to you.
That's right, officer.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I had no idea. I was sending it to Kevin Powell. He's a sports guy. I thought that was his number.
And so criminals know this, and so they pose as your friends, or they pose as some other legitimate business.
Right.
They get you to send them money, and then it's just gone.
And they're locked up abroad. All right, Kevin Brasler, thank you so much. Consumers Checkbook, checkbook.org/WGN Radio/free. Go to right now, and then people can do it. Kevin, always great to see you. Thank you so much. Let's check in now with the news. Here is Kim Gordon in the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Coming up in the top 5 at 5. Now, on Fridays, it's a little different because we rolled the Carnarvon wagon right at the top of the 5 o'clock hour now. And then we start at the top 5 at 5, around 5:15. And then after the bottom of the hour news, we do at number one, it's the top 5 cut of the week. And this is one of my favorite cuts of all times, is the cut of the week involving Bernie Sanders. because he's exactly the one thing about Bernie Sanders I love is that he looks exactly how he sounds and he sounds exactly how he looks. You just know it. There's no two ways around it. When you hear his voice, you just if I had never seen him before, I would just imagine exactly that. You know, some people, their voice and their visage don't match up, or their physicality don't match up. Not with Bernie. Totally perfect. All right. Our personal Blackhawk is joining us right now, Connor Murphy. And I just want to say congratulations, because this has been a really fun run here for the last couple of weeks. Big time.
Yeah, it's been better. Yeah, I mean, we got a few wins, and we still got a few more till the break. So I think it's something that we had to just kind of segment the games with a goal to be able to get as many wins as we can and climb back in it.
Yeah, and Canada's good to you guys right now. I think Canada's been very good to you. Canada just seems to be the kind of place where you're going to go scoop up some wins, and then, you know, and let's start that momentum that you guys, yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when you said, listen, the whole idea here is you don't have to win every night, but you have to win 3 out of 5 nights, 3 out of 4 nights, things like that, and all of a sudden that adds up, and that's exactly what you've been doing.
Yeah, no, it's nice playing in Canada. It seems like you got a lot of Canadian players, so there's a little more excitement going and playing in front of their hometowns, and playing in the big markets. So it's always fun trips, and we've had a few days here. And obviously, Toronto's a better team than Ottawa and Montreal have shown to be, so it'll be a bigger test.
Yeah. And Toronto is in for people who are not familiar with hockey, this is one of the great statistics in the history of sports, in all of sports, is that Toronto, despite the fact that they've really not been, I think they've only won the cup once in this period of time, but spent the last day of World War II to tomorrow night when the Blackhawks get there, they have had continuous sellouts in their stadiums. Continuous sellouts from the last day of World War II. That's how crazy the fans are for the Leafs. It's and they should be. It is an amazing tradition, but I love that statistic. And it's also about hockey is one of the few that can have that too. I love that about it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, especially, I mean, Toronto is probably the biggest hockey city in the world.
Yeah, without question.
It's kind of the only tough thing is with, obviously, that being such a hot item to get a ticket to watch hockey here, it kind of turns some families away that you wish would get more of a chance to see games. My dad grew up in Toronto, and it seems like it's harder. It's a lot of business people and the lower bowls and who they watch, and some people don't get the chances because it is such a hot item. It's expensive, but it's showing they get a big following.
All right, now you guys have been traveling around. I love this story too. You guys have been traveling around Canada in a train. You're not flying from city to city. Yeah. You were doing this on a train, and you guys have been posting about it. It's super cool. I wish America had more trains like they have. Well, in Europe specifically, they've got, it's an amazing train system. But Canada's got a really good train system too. It's a great.
Yeah, way to I think
go.
There's some teams in the East they'll train through New York and Philly and Jersey, but yeah, that was pretty cool. I think they ended up being 2 hours on the train the other night. We went to Ottawa to Montreal, and I'd never done it in the U.S. in North America. I've only done in Europe, done trains with hockey teams, and it was really cool, and it was nice. There's just a little more delays when you're flying. Obviously, you got a bus and wait for a takeoff and landing.
Right. You get right out, and you're downtown.
It was cool. Cool experience. What's that?
You get off the train, you're right downtown. You're ready to go. You go to the hotel, you're right
there.
Yeah,
well, even more so than that, it was the weirdest thing. The train stuff was in the basement of the hotel. So we didn't even go outside. It was just we just took the elevator right up to the lobby. So,
well, I found that, Montreal is one of those cities that is just like a habit trail anyway. You could walk around Montreal and never go up above. It's like Planet of the Apes. You know, everything's down underneath. You don't know where anything's going, but it's shops and all that sort of stuff because it snows in August in Montreal. All right, Connor, congratulations. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, see Connor you. Murphy, Chicago Blackhawk. He's numero cinco. Let's check in now with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads and in the skies? It's the Rocon Show right here, 720 WGN. I promised this yesterday, and now we are upon it. The future is here. I am completely freaked out by this story. That science has now broken the barrier to create virtual reality in a contact lens. Now, think about that for just a second. So you could change what you're looking at, or you could look through other things that you're looking at, and no one would ever know that.
I foresee the panic of not knowing what's real.
Yes.
And fake.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Thought. It's like, I don't know if this is, and then you take it out and you go, oh no, I don't, I like what I'm seeing through the contact lens better. Scott Stein is joining us right now, and he's going to explain this to her, senior editor at CNET. And is this going to be available anytime soon, or is this just a pie in the sky kind of deal?
Sure. Now, I want to help break it down because I know the idea is insane. And the demo I had in Las Vegas the week of CES, even though it was not part of CES, was also insane. So the idea is not exactly virtual reality, and it's not meant to be out now. This is still a years away target. And the tech is really augmented reality in the sense that it's going to enhance elements of your reality.
Oh, no.
And it's going to show you a heads-up display when you put it in your contact lens. What I saw was a very tiny display, the size of a pin, that displayed text in my eye. And I was not wearing it in my eye yet. I was holding it right up to, because even though they're aiming for contact lens status, they're not ready. It was probably a good thing in Vegas to stick it in my eye yet, although apparently they are testing it.
No. Yeah, excellent instinct right there, Scott. You definitely don't want to put anything in your eye in Las Vegas, ever.
No.
Yeah. It's bad enough the stuff that accidentally gets in your eye. All right, so let's talk about the idea that now it would just be, what you saw now is basically a menu or just text, right? That you could read, but eventually that. If this technology is here now to do this, you know, within the decade, it's going to be virtual reality compliant.
Well, the wild part was that they said they're aiming for, now it's first is monochrome, then it's going to be color, and they want to be stereoscopic, like 3D with two lenses. Okay. Right now it's text. Then it's going to be eye tracking because it's moving around with your eye, and it will have an image sensor, so kind of like a camera. I saw a second demo in another room with the next prototype, where I could see in the dark. This was kind of insane. It was not kind of insane. It was fully insane.
Oh, I don't where, like any of this.
Yeah, so I saw green outlines that made out. So it basically was translating, in a sense, showing me text from road signs, and then I could see the face of somebody in the pitch dark holding this processor with the stick with this little lens thing that I held up to my eye. Now, that processing stuff is still, like, not in the lens, but the idea is that the sensors will be, and that'll connect to your phone or whatever. But, yeah, that's crazy.
Well, you know, the one upside to this, as I think about it, is I think like a night like now in Chicago, it's a snowstorm, and it's wintry, and it's dark and depressing and all of that. And I can make it sunny through my contact lens. It could be sunny all the time for me.
Well, that might be a way off, but you know, you're kind of connected to the company Mojovision. What's wild is you have to have contact lenses be FDA regulated, and they already have in-house medical staff and optometrists. And this is definitely aimed at vision correction. So they're already working with a center in Palo Alto for vision impairment, where they want, and they have an FDA breakthrough devices classification. The idea is that this will fast track for people who might have macular degeneration or other vision impairment. So you could use this to possibly magnify and see. So they're shooting for crazy goals. And of course, like, here I am just looking at one demo, the first time they've shown this out of stealth. But yeah, I mean, that's wild. And then there's the whole James Bond, you know, smart glasses in your eye part of it.
Scott Stein, senior editor at CNET, this whole idea of a contact lens, it's now going to have the virtual reality kind of components to it, as you just pointed out. It's obviously going to go through generations of this before it gets there. Right now, it would be a text available. When is that product going to be out that you could see the text on your phone just by having it in your contact lens?
Well, none of this is coming out anytime soon. They still are. They said they're years away, and that's because even to sell this, they can't have it be sold, they said, until it is something that is, you know, FDA cleared in the U.S. So, you know, that has to be safe, and that, I mean, there are crazy hurdles. Right now, it was wirelessly transmitting power, but they want to put a battery on it. So there's going to be a battery. There's going to be a radio.
Am I eyeball?
Yes, you're going to have this on your eye. So yeah, I have a ton of questions too.
How
is that all going to? Right. How is that all going to work? How is that all going to be safe? How is it going to be okay? I mean, they're coming at this with a lot of funding and a lot of confidence, but, you know, you have to see where this is all going. And it might be that it only makes sense for people who really, really need it, who would be willing to take that step.
Yeah.
But also, would you do that over wear glasses to improve it?
Well,
you know, some sort of smart glasses.
Yeah, but the smart glasses, Scott, that's already been out, and the Google Glass and all that.
Yeah.
And that was just a complete flop. Why was that a flop?
Well, because nobody wants to wear that stuff around in public.
Yeah.
And also, like, a lot of them, so I have, like, really bad vision, and a lot of those don't function as regular glasses. So I have a hard time finding, when I say, well, my prescription is this, and then they say a lot of them can't even make the glasses in that prescription easily. So I think that, you know, if you are wearing glasses, you're going to want to wear actual glasses. And then a lot of these other things, you have to charge, and there's all their annoying stuff. So there's a million reasons why it's not helpful, but it's interesting. A lot of that smart glass tech now is being used by companies in industrial spaces where they could use it for things like vision impairment. There are things like Google Glass is still being used to help people in those cases. So I think, like, yeah, how far are you from seeing everyday people doing this? You know, tons of companies are supposed to be working on it, and it might still be 5 years away before we see real attempts to sell these at stores. You can see everybody's kind of pulling back, but this is amazing how small the tech could get, and we're just getting that beginning glimpse of it.
Oh, dude, you have totally freaked me out. I mean, I saw this story yesterday, and I'm like, a contact lens that has the potential to eventually become virtual reality, because it changes, as Lauren just said, it's like I don't know what's real and what's not real. I barely know what's real and not real right now. And if all of a sudden you do that to me, it changes everything, the way that we perceive the world. And I know.
Well, it also feels like, yeah. Well, it also feels like the bionic eye.
Yes.
You know, this is stuff that's like so close to you that when you wear that in your eye, you're sort of getting beyond wearable stuff, and you're getting into like, it's not an implant, but you're getting
like your
so
brain.
Close to you.
Yeah,
you're getting so close to you that it feels like that. And this is the first time I've seen anything that amazing in probably years, since like Oculus VR at CES. And it's funny to see that tech that's so small that I'm looking at it and there's no way I can easily photograph it. You know, like it's so tiny that it's really hard to even in show in a picture. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned that Oculus VR, that virtual reality stuff for gamers and all that. That is changing everything. People walking around their house, and eventually they're going to be able to integrate like your physical, where you are. They're kind of doing it now, where you physically are versus where you are in whatever the virtual reality world that you're entering into, and with the gloves and stuff that you can feel, like if you're flying something or driving something, you can feel the controls, you know, through the gloves. It's like the whole thing is just. I'm not quite sure I am ready for the future. I would just like to quote Ray Davies, if I possibly could here, from the Kinks. I'm a 20th century man, but I don't want to die here. That is how I feel about everything that we have just discussed. Scott Stein, senior editor at CNET. Yep. Thanks very much, man. Thanks for being with us.
Of course. Yeah, great talking to you.
All right, happy weekend. Okay. I don't feel...
I mean, batteries explode. Just saying.
That is a very, very good point, Kevin Powell.
You know, airplanes and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then do you have to, it's like your AirPods or whatever, you have to put them back, you have to put the contacts back in the box, and then it lets you know when they're ready to go back into your eyeball. I don't know. I just don't like the idea that I don't exactly know what is and what isn't. That's the thing that freaks me out. Even virtual reality, but you can like rip the goggles off. It's a little bit more work to like to take the contact lens out of your eye for some reason. Because then where are you going to put it? Like the goggles, you know, they're safe. They're complete. But if you lose it, this contact lens is going to be $10,000. You do not want to lose it. All right. We have got top 5 of 5 coming your way after we get the news from Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And that comes your way in 2 little minutes.
Chicago's very own WG.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great. Makes women appear more attractive and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I can't talk. I mean, this is so special to me.
That, by the way, was Jimmy Johnson from Monday's Top 5 at 5, in which he was all choked up after he became the latest inductee into the Football Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton. And then the sound of a mating sea turtle, also from Monday's.
Great mashup. Mm-hmm. Love a good collaboration. Yep.
That's what it sounds like when the sea turtles are in the act of amour. Hey, we are in a damn near crisis situation here because of the snow. I mean, I think we have to go to the mattresses here, and thank God we have a Carnarvon wagon. And we're the only ones left in the building here, which is just amazing to me. When this happens, this is the thing I always wonder if management leaves one person behind just to make sure that we get out of the building.
To be played by Kiefer Sutherland eventually.
Yes. Thank you, Richard Roper.
You're welcome.
Because I think we've been known to hunker down in situations. Damn near crisis situation around here. Everybody's gone. We're the last ones.
Sometimes it's fun to hunker down, as long as you have the proper supplies.
Exactly.
As you mentioned, the Carnarvon wagon is here.
So. Yes, and the supplies are, well, there's plenty of them, as it turns out.
Okay.
And we actually, coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be celebrating, Restaurant Week is starting here in Chicago, coming up, starting this upcoming week is Restaurant Week, and sometimes Restaurant Week slides into a couple different weeks. So we're going to have the Choose Chicago people who are going to explain this, and then one of our favorite bartenders is going to be here to explain it as well. From the Gauge, which is a great restaurant on Michigan Avenue.
One of our favorites. Bartender going to be here?
Bartender.
We're all right. I did a rod. We made sure.
Yes, right. We got it. We got a dog sled team. We got the whole thing.
Okay.
We're all very good to go. I want to ask you, Richard Roper, because you wrote a book about the Chicago White Sox.
Yes, sir.
And this is a moment here where you got Black Jack McDowell. He's called Black Jack for a reason. The guy was always trouble.
One of the more colorful characters in White Sox history.
Is Black really a color, or is it really a mood? I don't know. But the point is that here he is, Black Jack McDowell, saying that the Sox were doing the same sort of thing that the Houston Astros were doing back in the early 1980s.
Well, all I can tell you about the state of the White Sox and Comiskey Park, and look, they had the 1983 team winning ugly before any football team was using that term, you know. But the technology back then, even when they would announce who was up to the plate, by the time it rattled around the old Comiskey Park, it was two batters down the road. So I'm not doubting that there was some sort of camera where you could see some. Back then, the signs were very sophisticated. One for fastball, two for curb, three for a slider, and four for a changeup. But by the time, I don't know what kind of camera the White Sox would have had in 35, 40 years ago.
Right.
To capture that kind of, and to relay it. By the time you got all of that back to the batter, the game would be over and the Monsters of Rock tour would be setting up in center field.
I'm with you on that, because the camera technology would have been incredibly expensive and innovative unless they were using an actual television camera to do it, and no one was questioning who that television camera guy was who was there, and all the other television guys around him would be, what are you doing here?
Yeah, this is a team that didn't
want,
they were balking at paying the likes of Ralphie Garr what he was worth back in the day. So I don't see the Sox spending too much money on that.
I find this to be unlikely, and I also want to know why it is that Black Jack McDowell, we'll talk about this a little bit later on. I know you've got some reviews coming up, some other stuff, but I would love to get your take on why he would do that now and say that now.
I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to see more and more of that. I think one of the old teammates from A League of Their Own is now, claiming Madonna was stealing signals. And Tom Hanks looked the other way.
Oh, no. That was the one bad thing anybody ever said about Tom Hanks. All right. Lauren Lapka. She has her work cut out for her because the traffic and the weather, it could not be worse.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
The president welcomed the 2019 National College Football Champions Louisiana State Tigers to the White House today. As we know, LSU defeated the Clemson Tigers. It was Tiger on Tiger crime, is what that was there.
Wow.
Clemson Tigers by a score of 42-25. Who had that in the pool? Anybody?
Well, I'll tell you really quickly, the over-under was 66.5, and when it got to 67, I texted Kev, what an easy victory for the over! They never scored any more points the rest of the game on either side.
Not that there's any gambling
for information purposes only. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
newsman.
Exactly. Thank you, Richard Roper. Not only famed film critic and White Sox historian, but the man is also knows a little something about the gambling. You wrote books on that, too, didn't you?
Bet the House, available still to this day on the Amazon.
There you go.
Bet the House.
There you go. All right. This is the president. I love this. The president praising the LSU Tigers and talking about their proclivities.
LSU held Oklahoma to their lowest total yards in a single game since 2015. I'm sure they weren't happy. As wide receiver, Justin Jefferson had 14 receptions for 227 receiving yards and four touchdowns. A college football playoff record. Where is Justin? He's going to be so rich. We're looking at money. And this guy, Chase, wherever the hell he is, he was catching. Where the hell is Chase? He was catching balls all over the place. You guys are going to make so much money.
I love a message to the collegiate athletes.
Jeez. Exactly. All right, kids, I'm glad you got your degrees. Yep. Ed, well, you know, he is a realist.
Yeah.
Did you? There's an excerpt of a book that's coming out next week that has been dropped here. That was written by some Washington Post reporters about a meeting that the president had with his military leaders right when soon after he took office. This is not relatively recent because he was with Jim Mattis and Tillerson was the Secretary of State, and it was a tough meeting. But at one point in the meeting, according to this book, and it's not being denied by the people who were in the meeting with him, who are now, you know, civilians. You got Mattis and Tillerson, mm-hmm. people like that. That he suggested that our military get paid for being wherever they are. Now, he did this on the campaign trail. Remember, this was not, I mean, it's not like he hadn't said it. But the idea of it is we could make so much money if we just were, these countries were paying for us to be protecting them.
Mm.
And they had to explain, they were trying to explain to him that that's not how it works. Yeah,
they
were there to protect
us. They're called mercenaries. There's movies
right.
about them all the time.
Right. I think the French Foreign Legion did that too, right? They would send them out for, you know, for pay, and it doesn't really work out. I don't know, but I loved his idea. It was so much money. There is so much money to be made doing this.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's going to make a lot of money. That's for sure.
Oh, that is for sure. Now the his father, by the way, Joe Burrow's dad, the quarterback at LSU, who had been a transfer from Ohio State University after Urban Meyer, the head coach at the Ohio State University, had told Joe Burrow that he had wasted a scholarship position on him. He berated him in front of the rest of the team.
He'd always like call him by the wrong name, all those kind of like 1950s coaching tricks, almost trying to get him to quit.
Yeah.
And Nebraska said they didn't want him. Despite him, his dad played at Nebraska. Nebraska's like, nah, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missed out on that one.
I'll show you story. Oh, way to go, listen, Joe Burrow.
We can go 4-7 on our own, Nebraska said. Don't you worry about us.
Joe Burrow, future Heisman and top overall draft pick.
Oh, man. Ooh. I got to say, as an Ohio State fan, I am so happy for him, and I'm happy that he proved Urban Meyer wrong, and now I hate Urban Meyer.
Okay.
Sorry. I like the guy who wears makeup on the sidelines now.
Number four.
Former White Sox pitcher, 1993 American League Cy Young winner, Jack McDowell, right? I mean, there's a guy that, well, he was always a pain. That's the one thing I would like to say about him. Has claimed that the White Sox used a camera to steal signs in the 1980s. He was talking to the WFNZ in Charlotte, North Carolina. He alleged that the White Sox installed a camera in the outfield to zoom in on the opposing catchers.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park. In the late 80s, Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office, and a camera zoomed in on the catcher.
Mm.
Okay, I'm gonna whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids. Yet he's still in the game making $500,000. You know, no one's gonna go after that. It's just, it's the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook, and, you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, what's going on.
Well, now Jack McDowell wasn't on that team, though, that he's talking about, right?
He was not.
He was
on the team. I was just looking at it. So his first year was 1987, where he pitched in four games for the Sox. La Russa was done after 86.
Right.
He had moved on.
And he said, we had.
I think he's saying that La Russa put the system in place. It was well known that La Russa put it in place.
Well, they said he was an innovator and a pioneer. That's one of La Russa's,
I guess they did. Well, here's Ron Kittle, who happened to have been on that team, the great Ron Kittle. And he talked to John Williams earlier today on WGN, and this is what he said about the claim.
I tell you what, I played with Jack, and I was on that team, but I don't know anything about a light. I might be the stupidest person in the world because they didn't tell me about it. Maybe they didn't want me to know. I don't know. But I think it's a little upsetting what's going on. You're a Major League Baseball player. You're playing on a professional team, and you have to win. And I am sure for the last 100 years of baseball, somebody always had an edge on somebody. Tipping pitches. I mean, if somebody clicked me and told me a pitch was coming by banging the thing, I would not pay attention to it. I wouldn't even know what the hell. I'm not that quick. I wasn't that good. But
I love Ron Kittle.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you, John Williams, for that. That's pretty interesting. Checking in at
number three.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announces 35th class of inductees. It's a pretty good one, too. And again, every time we do this, I'm like, they're not already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Right, yeah. How about T-Rex? Whitney Houston. The Doobie Brothers. This is the only one that I thought, okay, this would be their first year. Depeche Mode. So I just can't imagine how these, before Depeche Mode, how none of these were already in. And then this is another one that's this is a new entry, one of the first years of contention, Nine Inch Nails. I will say this, that rock and roll induction show is one of the best television shows of the year. You talk about your award shows. That I think Grammys are great, and they finally figured out the Grammys. Nobody wants to see the Tejano polka mix person win their award. They just want to see people a couple big awards and then the music.
But that Hall of Fame one, they distill it down to like 2.5 hours for HBO. It's like 8 or 9 hours, actual concert. And now they're saying some of the older inductees are fighting to see who gets to play first.
Because they want to go home.
Because they don't want to stay.
Yeah, that's true. All right, and checking in at
number two.
Oh, man.
Hall of Fame? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No.
I got the horses in the bag.
Well, turns out, remember, this was the song of the summer, right? We're sort of over it. Sam Elliott, the great Sam Elliott, uses incomparable vocal characteristics to recite the lyrics to Old Town Road in a Western Saloon teaser for an upcoming Super Bowl Live, I like to call it, L-I-V.
It's very good.
49.
Good one.
For this, it's an upcoming deal. Some big special sort of thing that they got Sam Elliott to do this. And, well, here's what it sounded like.
I got the horses in the back. Horse tack is attached. Hat is matte black. I got the boots.
It was an outtake from Star is Born, I think. Lyrics he was trying to get Bradley to, Jackson Maine to do.
Here's the mix.
I got the horses in the back. Horse tack is attached. Hat is matte black. Boots is black to match. Riding on a horse. Ah. You can whip your horse, y'all. I've been in the valley. You ain't been up off that porch now. Can't nobody tell me nothing.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
We did that for them. That's for a Doritos ad. We fixed it for them right there.
That's Grammy.
All right. We'll get to the cut of the week, which will be number one coming out your way after the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon, which comes your way in 2 minutes. Hello. Okay. All right. I stepped away from the microphone there for a second. I love that.
It's Friday.
Yeah, only certain Democratic candidates could learn to do the same thing.
So funny you should mention that, Richard Roper, because here we have the cut of the week. This is what we do on Fridays. In this little segment here, after the news, we like to share with you the one piece of audio we had of the week that we think is just the most fabulous. Or most interesting, and always actually most funny. And so, therefore, it is
number one.
Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have a tete-a-tete after the debate earlier this week.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
No. Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that
anytime.
Discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Still the best part.
That's so great.
Tom Steyer, who is just one of those guys who wants to be invited.
Yeah.
Right? He's bought his way into this, and he's been running commercials for years. Like, since the minute that Donald Trump got elected, Tom Steyer's been running a commercial about impeach Trump, right? Which was, he's a little ahead of the curve, and it probably, without question, is one of the reasons that the majority of Americans aren't taking this very seriously, even though it's a presidential impeachment. And there's Steyer, who's just, he's the guy at the party that you want to avoid, right? He's the dude that's it. And Bernie, who's, just about to, those two are about to throw the gloves down.
It's such a circus, the whole thing. It's really entertaining.
It's here. I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Get out of the way.
And by the way, the opening there, too, is what Bernie Sanders responds to anything anyone ever says to him is, huh? And then you got to say it again. You know that when you're going into it, you're like, all right, have it amped twice. Up for a second time.
Yeah.
I think he called me a liar in Ashington. Huh? Huh? What is she saying?
I can't hear. Although I will say this right now, I'm having a little bit of angina.
like, what is she saying right now to me? I don't know.
I cannot have coffee after 6 o'clock at night because then I cannot sleep. I find that I have that problem, and it is also bad for my bowels.
White House State Dinner will be starting at 3:35 p.m. President Sanders.
Everyone gets a doggy bag to take home.
Right, will there be leftovers?
I'll take the soup to go.
Sherbet for dessert again. It's so great, though. Like, he's like, what? She could have said anything. He's like, why is she talking to me from, 6 feet away?
Now, don't forget, I do love all Bernie Sanders tape, because like I said earlier, Bernie Sanders sounds exactly like he looks and looks exactly like he sounds. Mm. And even going back to before he was a United States senator, he was a local public television host in Vermont, and he wanted to teach the kids about the evils of cocaine.
Do any of the older kids, have some problems with drugs occasionally?
No.
No? Who wants to talk to me about that one? What about drugs? Is that a problem?
I like coke.
Okay, do you want to talk about that one? Paula, who said they like coke?
Me.
All right, you tell me about that.
I like Coca-Cola.
Oh, Coca-Cola. All right, but who knows about cocaine? Anyone ever seen cocaine?
Yes.
Not yet. Did you hear that?
Hold it. One at a time. What about cocaine? Good thing, bad thing, what?
Bad.
Why is it bad?
Because it has a bad effect on the body.
That's right.
That's right. You have the. It's
amazing.
Now, in Bernie Sanders, this is from 40 years ago.
Yeah, that little kid actually is Tom Steyer, who grew up as a youngster. He was still trying to interrupt that and couldn't get any acknowledgement from him.
Do you know people who take drugs?
No.
You don't have to tell me who, but I bet you do. Okay. All right. Hold it. Why do people take drugs? You think they're smart?
No.
They think they're big shots.
That's exactly right. They think they're doing something that's very cool. What, in fact, are they doing? Does anyone know what cocaine does to you?
Yeah.
What is it? That's right. It screws up your mind and it screws up your body.
It gives you a bump. It gives you this feeling of invincibility. This is a wonderful drug, actually, that people take because it makes you feel very confident in situations you would not otherwise be confident in.
Little Tommy Steyer.
Look at the little kids. They're 8 years old! That's the thing!
The album Hotel California would have had only one song without the help of some substance abuse.
Oh, man. All right. We'll roll out the Canarbo wagon with Chief Chicago. But first, let us now talk to Lauren Lapka. She has a raft of problems on the roadways. Take it away. All right. The Canarbo wagon is rolling, and we have the other people from Choose Chicago in the studio with us, which is excellent because Restaurant Week is upon us. There's nothing we can do about it. We must enjoy that, I believe, is the idea here. Jason Lesnevich is with us. He's the Director of Cultural Tourism for Choose Chicago. Thank you very much. We are not, I just want to say one thing, Jason. We are not going to be showing pictures of this afternoon to the worldwide community to talk about engaging in Chicago. I would just like to point that out.
I understand.
Our little secret.
We get it a lot. It's quite okay.
Yeah. And we're keeping our eyes on the roadways. We got Lauren every few minutes telling you what's going on if you're having trouble getting home. And Demetrius Ivory will be here in the 6 o'clock hour to tell us how much longer this is going to last and what the accumulation totals are going to be. Because right before the storm started, we weren't quite 100% sure how it was going to, at the speed at which it was moving, how it was going to actually accumulate. And now we have a better handle on that. So that's coming your way right after the news and the 6 o'clock hour. All right. So let's talk about Restaurant Week. How many restaurants are participating?
441 restaurants this year. We have 102 brand new restaurants in 2020. So the array of options for you is pretty much endless.
And where do people go to see that whole list?
EatItUpChicago.com.
EatItUpChicago.
I realize that's more restaurants than most populous cities have going to be represented here. 441. You go to a town, they might have 20.
True.
What's good here?
And it's not just Chicago, right? Because a lot of people listening are in the burbs, and there are suburban restaurants participating, correct?
We do. We have 55 suburban restaurants this year. So in total, it's a record year for us in terms of participation.
And the idea here is that you're going to restaurants that you're going to get a really great deal on, right? Because it's like fixed price menu.
They're prefix menus for lunch, brunch, or dinner. And the lunch and brunch is a set price, $24, three courses. And dinner is either $36 or $48, depending on the restaurant. Some restaurants have both options for dinner.
Yeah. It always is good, too. And some restaurants, it pushes them into doing specials like that they don't normally do. And then, interestingly enough, over the years, some of them put that on the menu to make that whole thing go. And this is not only, this is a kind of a little special thing for Chicagoans, too, because this is, January tends not to be or Chicago area people, I should say, because the suburbs are involved in this, of course, as well. This January tends not to be a gigantic tourist month, right?
True.
In Chicago. It is also not a gigantic restaurant month. Some restaurants actually close down in January, or they reconfigure. There's hotels that are closing down downtown for reconfiguration for the month, and then February it all starts over again. You got the auto show and all the rest of the stuff that starts.
Yeah, we want it to be an economic driver for our restaurants, for our partners, while bringing value to the consumer all throughout the Chicagoland area and visitors. So it's really a great opportunity to get out, go see a new neighborhood, go explore a new neighborhood, have dinner, and have a great night out.
You know, there are so many restaurants that are popping up, these chef-driven restaurants throughout the city, near Southwest Side, near Northwest Side, further Northwest and Southwest, that you've got these some of them have gotten famous from being on, whether it's television or the interwebs or whatever it is, and they have just done amazing things here. And some of them are BYOBs, which don't poo-poo, don't sleep on the BYOB, as we like to say around here, because if you want to bring whatever it is you want to bring, they'll uncork it for you, and they have amazing, amazing, amazing food generally.
Oh, our neighborhood restaurants, the scene throughout the city, it's not just downtown, it's not just the West Loop, it is all throughout the city from Edgewater down to Hyde Park and the South Side and the near West Side for sure. And
yep, it's 53rd Street.
Our culinary scene totally is unparalleled in America for sure.
No, there's no question about it. It's arguable in the world, it's unparalleled. Jason Lesnevich is with us from Choose Chicago. It's his job to talk nicely about Chicago, and that's all good, but I enjoy it because I do the exact same thing. I had a friend in from out of town, I was taking him all throughout the town last night, showing them this is what real Chicago's like. Because, you know, we sometimes take it on the chin. I don't know if you've noticed this, Jason. Every once in a while, there will be people who, you know, on, you know, maybe cable news networks or you know, maybe at press conferences, who say nasty things about Chicago that tend not to really tell the whole story here. So
once in a great while, and we appreciate people like you showcasing the city.
Thank you very much. I just do it one tourist at a time. All right, now the Knoebel wagon is rolling. So Torrance O'Hare is with us from The Gauge, which is one of the great restaurants in Chicago.
Yeah, kind of old standard, right?
Yep,
yeah, absolutely.
It's on Michigan Avenue. It's a great place for tourists, right, if they want to check out. But the best way to put it is sort of like it's Irish comfort food meets like a trendy chef-driven
Sort of, yeah. We like to think of it as sort of a, you know, refined rusticity, if you will. You
refined
know.
Rusticity.
Yeah, we're Irish owned, so we're always going to have like great fish and chips and Guinness.
Yeah,
but
best.
More importantly, we also have a really talented global leaning chef team. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, you know, touches a lot of different cuisines, a lot of different styles. You can get everything from that fish and chips to like killer foie gras dishes, and you know, really really fabulous wine lists.
We
and,
got the foie gras. Back because remember yeah. they remember yeah. they want to take that thing away.
Controversy.
Remember that whole deal.
Yeah, but wrote to what you were saying earlier. I love taking people from out of town to the Gauge, and they think, okay, it's going to be another Irish Chicago, you know, bar and restaurant, and then they see the menu. Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
I never get past the fish and chips. I go there every time and I go, all right, I'm going to try something different. I'm like, why would I do that? But there are great options
it's
there.
It's really impossible to get great fish and chips.
Not there.
Outside those couple little islands that are sitting out there between the Atlantic and the North Sea. But all over the country, it's hard to find. But you guys do it exactly like that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate
it's
that.
It's perfectly, perfectly done. And what an amazing... You guys also have an amazing story, too. The guys who own The Gauge, and they own a bunch of other restaurants in Chicago, have this amazing program of bringing people in from all over the world to take part and learn the restaurant industry and to become active citizens in the United States and all that. It's a really, really cool program that you guys have been involved in since essentially because it's a company built by Irish immigrants.
It's true, yeah. So actually, one of our owners is actually a senator in the Irish Parliament still today. So so we have deep Irish connections. But it's very much a definitive Chicago restaurant. So we're very community oriented, really active in local organizations, active in local charities. It's a great restaurant group to be a part of.
Yeah. There, no question about it. All right, and you made cocktails for us, so God bless you for that. And may he keep you, and may the wind always be at my back. Or what other things am I supposed to say?
They are wives and mistresses never meet.
Yes, exactly. Other really important Irish things.
You have to know a couple of good Irish toasts, right?
Yes, exactly.
The wisdom to know the difference, which Will Kahn never has, but he keeps trying.
That is totally true. And you make mean cocktails too, as well as you have a really good selection of handles.
Sure, absolutely. Don't forget the wine list. We're on the world rankings of top quality wine lists too.
Wow.
Yeah, we actually we were just on a list in Wine Spectator magazine for being one of the top 20 bargain wine lists in the country.
Nice.
Place is always there's always people in the place too. I've noticed.
Oh, absolutely.
So many times I just go sit at the bar and it's got a gigantic bar.
Great bar.
And it's one of the best eating bars in Chicago.
For sure. We've got a great bar team. Yeah, it's a cool spot.
TV's right there. Often Richard and I will be there, and I'll be, you know, on the opposite side of some great tragedy that happens once a week in my life. And these
have to remember sometimes. Yeah. We came here to eat.
Yeah.
Remember that?
You know what happened?
2 hours ago.
Yeah, and 16 Guinnesses later. Yeah. All right, so... Jason, thank you so much. Choose Chicago. If people want to go to the website once again for the restaurant week,
eatitupchicago.com.
Eatitupchicago.com. And that'll show you regionally. And it's, go to the places.
You can search by neighborhood, by menu, by cuisine.
That's great.
And yeah,
next year they're going to do X's of Row. He can like search for his X's names that go there, but that's a new feature not yet ready.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Richard. Thank you. I appreciate appreciate. Yeah, you, think about
help.
That. Think about it. Well, it would drive traffic because that's what I do. I drive traffic that way.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Speaking of the traffic, we have got Lauren Lapka is going to keep us up to date. Coming up in just a few minutes here at the news at the top of the hour, and it is a wild ride out there. Lots of. As if you're out there driving right now, you know how bad this is. She's going to tell you where it's lightening up and where it is definitely not. That's coming your way. Plus, Demetrius Ivory will also get us all caught up in terms of what the track of this storm is, and they have a better handle now than they did a couple of hours ago on what the snow totals are going to look like, too. And you got, and of course, it's going to be snowy today and tonight, tonight and tomorrow into tomorrow night, and then a deep freeze cold comes in, too. So remember, we're telling people to, even if you only get a couple inches of snow on your driveway, get it off there because it is going to freeze solid for 3 days starting on Sunday. All right, we have got the news coming away from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Your very own WGN. Rokan Show right here, 720 WGN. And yes, it is snowing outside. And yes, the roads are a complete disaster. We are going to be joined by Demetrius Ivory, meteorologist from WGN-TV, in a little bit to discuss what the snow totals are actually going to look like now. They got a better handle on it. We have Lauren Lapka watching the screen here. This is I've never seen Lauren actually have this experience, which is it's she showed us a screen. It's all black.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Black,
which tells you
red.
The way these screens work is that there's like one line for every traffic incident or an expressway time, and it's color. Every line is color coded to red, green, yellow, red.
So black is either closed or solid traffic. Red will be stop and go traffic. Yellow is just slow, and then it's kind of like a greenish, yellowish that will be totally clear.
Yeah,
but that doesn't exist right now.
There is none of that.
No. She's been laser focused all afternoon.
Changes.
She looks like there's always that scene in the movie in the control room where everyone goes, "Yeah, yeah, we saved the day." And then there's that one. She's the one person who goes, "Captain, well, hold on. I'm still seeing something.
There's an alien.
What the hell is that?" And then they show, ding,
"Don't
ding.
Pop the bottles
like,
just yet,
I'm like,
boys."
That's Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. So right now, what is the worst situation?
Well, luckily, the accidents are kind of clearing up. For a while, there was one almost on every side of every roadway. Now there's just a few. Obviously, that's not counting in the suburbs, but still really lengthy travel
times.
That's
kind of the surface street to be in the suburbs.
Right,
but in terms of the major expressways.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Other than that, there's a lot of solid traffic on the Kennedy, on the Eisenhower, on the Stevenson, mostly on the outbound side. But just travel times in general are almost twice or three times what they normally are.
Okay.
It's really bad.
So I always, on nights like this, I always wonder I like to play longest travel time.
Longest travel time, definitely outbound Eisenhower. 2 hours to 390.
It's always.
That's normally a 29-minute trip. 2 hours.
You know that arrow's going the wrong way on that, I'm sure, right? Well, the timing of this, too, guys. I mean, it was right Friday, January.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Rush hour is when we first started seeing, because about 1 o'clock this afternoon, you're like, well, I know they say it's coming, but you don't believe it almost. Oh, come on, what do these folks know? And then the first little flurries and little sprinkles.
It's the sloppy stuff too. It's kind
right.
Of
it's slippery,
wet, slushy, icy.
Yeah, like on I-80 West, multiple vehicles went into a ditch over by Minooka, so that's blocking the right lane. But it's just one of those things. Even if you're being careful, sometimes it's not
enough. Exactly, you could be going 7 miles an hour, and that feeling. When you know the ditch is awaiting you, and you're not going fast enough, thank God, where you're probably going to be hurt. But there's still that feeling where you've lost control of the vehicle.
Right.
It's not Ford versus Ferrari. It's exactly.
Classic wintry mix.
Demetrius made a really great point earlier. Even if you have great tires and the four-wheel drive, it doesn't matter. Don't go any faster because it's all the other people that don't have
great.
That.
So
that
true.
It takes one slip up that it becomes just this multiple car crash. It's awful.
Taking the train tonight.
Good.
That's a good idea.
Steer clear of the roadways.
I think earlier we decided we were going to just hunker down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to go.
Sleepover.
God.
I hope the bosses don't mind.
I get the top bunk.
See Lauren and Kevin arguing over what we're going to stream next.
Yeah.
Mandalorian again.
Let's tell
you missed some
stories.
Subtleties. And then Kevin, once upon a time in Hollywood again. And then Rose like, I still think there's things to be seen in A Star Is Born that we missed the first five times.
That's how this show rolls.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Can we order a pizza?
Rich, what should we watch?
Yeah. And
all right.
Oh, gosh.
We'll take your phone call, 312-981-7200. If you're if you have a question or you're in a particularly bad situation, we'd like to hear about it. Because it is a total mess out there. And one of the things when we give travel times, these are estimated travel times based on computers and road sensors
road,
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the snow often can screw up a road sensor.
Yeah.
So there may be people who got on the Eisenhower at the post office or whatever the hell we're calling that building now, at the casino or whatever it's going to be. It's like a WeWork thing or something at the WeWork. And then by the time they get out to, Tri-State or wherever they're heading, it could be, it's supposed to be 2 hours. But no, they might still be out there, and they got on there at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's possible. Even just to Mannheim is about an hour and 10 minutes.
And the latest information too, guys. Of course, because people are always traveling, more than 700 flight cancellations. That's Midway and O'Hare combined. That's the latest from the guys we've heard.
So, So if you want to come,
let's get out of town.
If you want to come hunker down with us and watch the best parts of A Star Is Born, we can do that. What's that? Turner Classic Movies. All right, here we go. Lauren Lapka tells us about the rest.
Oh, the weather outside is delightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow.
Hunker down, hunker down.
Now, we got the wrong version of that song. Don't we have to have the John Legend version of that song where it's all great? I got it.
No, that's Baby, It's Cold Outside. That's a different one.
Yeah,
aren't there any post-holiday It's Snowing songs? There's got to be something. There was Snow. Remember
Styx.
Snow, the rapper? What was
Snow? Snowblind by Styx.
There you go. Nicely done.
Thank you.
There was
you remember Snow? Informer was his big hit, the Canadian rapper back in the day.
Richard?
You guys know
if you have a stroke, what is going on?
Well, I'm just saying that all these snow songs are associated with the holidays. We need something just associated with it's snowing.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the roads and the phones and the phones and the roads. There are people with phones on the road. Sherry is joining us. Sherry, what's your 10-20? Sherry. Uh-oh. Hold on. There we go.
Courier. And usually I've been at my location.
Start that over again, Sherry. Sherry, stop 1 second.
Okay.
Start that over again. We had a little technical because it's frozen in here too. It's snowing on our board, so it's very, very tough. All right. So where are you going? When did you leave and where were you going?
Okay, I left Northwest Indiana about 4:00. Usually, I'm a medical courier, so I have a set route that I go and I pick up specimens. It's your dream job, Ro.
Oh dear God.
He's picked up a few specimens himself, let me tell you.
Yeah. So, I usually am on my way to my second stop right now, and I'm about an hour away from my first stop. So, I'm going a whole 8 miles an hour.
Let me ask you a question, Sherry. Can things go bad in the specimen world there if you're late delivering them to where they got to go?
It would have to be really, 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 really late. And most of the specimen, I guess the test tubes have preservatives in them and those kind of things to make sure that they don't go bad. I have dry ice. I have a cooler for cold specimens.
You know, you could just put it on the roof of the car, too, if you wanted to do that. But blood vials
that
and stuff
would
like
work.
That. Yeah, there's.
But, you know, I was hoping I could hunker down with you guys. I could bring the specimens in. Maybe we could take a look at a tumor. What do you think?
Oh God. My goodness, Sherry.
Oh, dear God.
Now, where are you right now? Where are you on the road?
I am on 90 West. Okay. I just passed the Palatine exit.
Gotcha.
I'm on my way to Algonquin.
All right.
Have you ever accidentally gone to like a tailgate party at Sox Park and brought the wrong cooler? Where you thought it was the Modelo?
Okay. No. Those get dropped off at our hub, and I do not. No, I don't.
No.
I don't carry specimens around just for the heck of it.
No,
who does?
Yeah, although you know, there are people who have left things in cars before. That would be would not be so good. And when?
No,
what time? When are you normally done with your specimen run?
Well, good traffic, midnight. Yeah. I'm probably not going to get home till like 3:30, 4:00 in the morning, I'm guessing.
Oh, some of that goo is going to go hard. I can tell you that right now. What's the weirdest specimen you got in there right now?
I don't have anything right now, but I found a finger.
Oh, it's on the roadway?
No. I've taken up portion of fingers. I've taken the guy I train with actually had a big box that he had to take, and he found out he had someone's arm. Usually it's a lot of blood, pee, and poop.
Yeah.
Real exciting stuff.
Sounds like a Saturday night to me.
Yeah, that was a band in the 70s. Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and Blood, Pee, and Poop. They used to play together.
That was a tribute band.
Yeah, they were a tribute band.
And in fact, I got to come back and do this tomorrow. So.
Well, be careful out there, Sherry.
You're actually doing important work, unlike us.
It's kind of a neat job if you think about it. It's just I don't want to think about it too much because I'm kind of like, well, I'm running around with like hand sanitizer all the time and rubber gloves are my thing.
Because if you have samples or things in your car right now, it's generally not all healthy people, right? It's like that's the
thing. Yeah, flu. I've got flu.
Oh, no.
You know, you name it, I've probably handled it before. Luckily, it's not my own personal vehicle. I get a company vehicle to do this thing.
Yeah. And by the way, does that come up on the CarMax report? you're a specimen car?
I hope so. I would hope so, because this car has the name of my company emblazoned down the side of it.
Yeah.
So I don't think they sell them after this. They're fake.
I hope not. But, or they sell them. They sell them to places in like Asia or Africa or someplace like that, and then they turn them into like military vehicles. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sherry, and good luck to you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Rose.
All right. I wish you could join us too, but I don't want you around with the flu samples. Wow. All right. Thank you.
There's something. Okay. Easy. There's something very Chicago and badass about a woman who's a medical courier, and she's going to be out there till 3 o'clock in the morning, and she's in a great mood. I mean, that's awesome.
It's true.
She's like,
in the worst snowstorm. Well, this is the season's worst, right?
That's like your worst nightmare. Well, that job, by the way.
I did used to draw blood for. When I was in college, and trust me, when I say that, I'm not like I hit a guy and drew blood. It's like I actually worked in a medical office and I drew. I was a phlebotomist. Yeah, I know. And I got totally used to that. But because but other stuff. Every once in a while, a patient would come in, and you know, I'd be back in the little lab area before we were sending it off to the real lab that was going to analyze the stuff. And they would, and somebody would drop off one of those like now Ziploc makes those containers that everybody's got, and with the stuff in it, with the one or the two, and they were like, oh, could you run that to the lab too? And it was, in general, it was not healthy, right?
They'd be like, I'm
feeling a little ill just thinking about it right now.
How about the fact that the guy who trained her once had to transport an arm? Bring out the big box from the trunk. Does that bend the box that holds that, or do you fold it?
Yeah, I think you fold it. It's foldable, so you've got that opportunity, I suppose. But then what? Now, is that an arm going to somebody else? Well, is that like all of a sudden you're going to Loyola and you're going to have somebody else's arm? Which, by the way, that could be kind of interesting. All right.
God bless her.
Mindy, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Mindy.
Hi there. I just want to tell the lady that's going to Algonquin that it's bumper to bumper, and you're crawling like 5 miles an hour.
Where were you? Where'd you leave, and where are you going?
I left top of the States from my work to go to my house in McHenry.
Oh, boy.
And I left at 4:45, and I'm just entering Algonquin.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Wow. So that's going to be another couple hours, right, to get back, or an hour?
Oh, probably another hour, So just be patient and can't change it.
Thank you, Mindy. You don't have a body part in your car, do you?
No, definitely not.
Definitely. Okay.
She's very zen, though, as well. I like that. I love that attitude. Like, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, there's nothing to do. That's totally true. Thank you very much, Mindy. Appreciate it. We got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and that is coming your way in just about 2 minutes. And then we've got Demetrius Ivory joining us to talk about what these snow totals are going to look like and when it's actually going to lighten up. And as he told us when he was on with us right at 3 o'clock, he mentioned that the even if this only ends up being a relatively small snowmaker in the city and parts south of the city, which it sounds like it's not going to be, more than 2-4 inches in those areas, but we'll see what the new totals are, because this is fluffier, I think, than they expected. Up north, where all we're getting our phone calls from, that's where it's really been. That's where they're going to get 6-7 inches potentially. So we'll find out all of that from Demetrius on the other side. But first, this Rokan Show on 720 WGN. Mr. Richard Roper is here, along with, of course, Kevin Powell with sports and thoughts, and Lauren Lapka with traffic and weather and thoughts, and corrections of factual errors that sometimes happen on the show. She's very well studied. And we are continuing to watch the roadways here. Justin will take you through starting at 7 o'clock tonight. People are still struggling to get home. Again, this is not, we just learned from Demetrius Ivory, this is not a gigantic snowmaker, But obviously, it hit at the exact worst time, the first hours of rush hour.
And it's the messy stuff.
Slippery, Channel very slippery.
9 just did a live shot from, I don't know where they were, but it looked like some nasty, slippery, wet snow and ice and all that stuff.
Plus the visibility. I mean, it's so foggy.
Yeah.
Yes. So we've got that. And tons of delays and cancellations, and including planes that can't find a gate at O'Hare.
It's the worst.
Where you're stuck out there.
Yeah. Is that a key? Do you need a gate? That's part of the keys of the final part of the landing and the arrival, right? That's so frustrating when you can like see the gate from your plane.
Being on the plane.
And you want to just, I could get out from here.
Without a gate is one of the more torturing moments, situation you could possibly be in. Because you're so close, yet so far. The baby starts crying.
Your butt's hurting so bad from like a 6-hour flight.
Starts to get hot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain Flatdeck. I know we've been sitting on the ground now for 4.5 hours, but still don't have a gate to go to, so I'm going to turn off the passive seatbelt sign. I'm going to let you go pee in your pants.
Well, the whole time you got the guy next to you, you know, who looks like that Jabba the Jihad guy, who's got he's up. Even though you're in 37, you know, 37 A and B, he's up. He stood up the minute, and he's going to keep standing, and he's got his big giant bag, his freebie bag from the convention that he bonks you in the head with, and then he's on the phone. Yeah, we're on the plane. It's an airplane. Sit down. Please sit down. Oh, God, God. Those are the longest minutes of your life.
Oh, right. Yeah. Or what's even worse is you get the flight attendant.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to sit down. We are still in an active taxiway. You're going to have to sit down. This is a federal violation. Sit down.
Which is true, because they don't have to be nice to you anymore, because the flight's over.
Right.
The same people who greeted you in Tacoma. Hi, how are you? It's so good to see you. Happy New Year. Now they're just like, I just got to get to the Holiday Inn. I got 12 hours to see if the captain is still like interested, and then I got to get back on the plane. All right. Just saying. It's not good for anybody.
No, it is definitely not good.
This is your purser, and I'm telling you right now, you have got to sit down. This is very, very, very important. People can get hurt. I've seen people hurt in this.
That's the one. You're right. That gets right, the maddest.
The supervisor who gets on. Are they, you know.
You get that poke in the back, you know, and you're like, oh, my gosh, what was that? Maleficent just poked me in the back. It's like, sir, sit down. I think you just drew blood between my shoulder blades with that little poke. Excuse me? Rules not just for everyone else, you too.
Right. At that point, their sweater that's well-worn, that is now a little frayed, but it has all of the different, like the wings and all the different buttons on it, you know, that they've all the places they've been.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, I'm going to take this thing off and strangle you with it.
And if you see it from their point of view, we're way worse than they are, so.
Right. That's totally true. All right. For people who are not stuck in airplanes and not stuck on the roads at this moment, like many, many people are, but they're heading home and they're close to home and they're going to hunker down now because there's no good reason to come out. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff on television, AFC and NFC championship games. The return of Curb Your Enthusiasm on Sunday
evening. And we've talked a little bit about a show called The Outsider, which is now in its second or third week on HBO. That's the Stephen King limited series starring Jason Bateman and a lot of other recognizable names, Cynthia Erivo. That's terrific. If you want to get into something dark, because this is a movie, I guess it is an extended movie as such. It's a limited series about people who are getting accused of murder and the evidence 100% convicts them, except for they also have 100% alibi. How is that possible? It's a Stephen King story. We'll leave it at that. We talked a little bit about the Apple Plus TV series Little America. Now, this is a little bit different because each episode is standalone, and there are 8 altogether. And Apple TV Plus, if you're a subscriber, they're making all 8 episodes available this weekend because, again, it's not one where you have to watch them in order. This is a series of 35-minute episodes all about the immigration experience in America. But as we mentioned yesterday, this is not a lecture. This is not a political thing. This is entertainment. And they're all based on true and amazing stories. To give you an example, there's a story in here about a girl who's 15 years old. Her mother's a housekeeper. She's a dreamer kid. And she signs up for squash lessons at the posh side, on the posh side of town, because she wants to get better sneakers because she's got taped up sneakers. Turns out the first time she gets on the court, she's got world-class talent. And again, this is based on a true story. Spoiler alert, she made the U.S. squash national team.
Wow.
And there are stories like that, but they're not always about, it's not always about the children of immigrants. There's one about a French woman who comes to America to seek the truth and goes to a lot of new age yogi type things. And that one stars Melanie Laurent, who was the lead in Inglourious Basterds. People might know her from that, the French actress. So it's showing the immigration experience from a dozen different countries and a dozen different experiences. It's really entertaining and really amazing, especially when you realize each one of these stories is true.
All right. But it's so but these are actors playing these
Fictionalizations. And at the end, you get that great thing where they show you the update on the real-life people, and you see the pictures of them. You know, to this day, da-da-da-da-da is doing da-da-da-da-da.
Wow.
I love that when they do that.
Very cool. All right.
As you mentioned, Curb, The Outsider, Tyler Perry's got a movie called Tyler Perry's A Fall from Grace, which is a Netflix original, and he's not dressing up. He's not getting, it's not Madea going anywhere. This is actually a murder mystery.
Oh.
And really well done.
Is he in it?
He's in it in a supporting role.
Is he wearing a dress?
No, he is not. This is the story of a woman who is accused of murder in an open and shut case, but a young public defender has some doubts about whether or not she really committed the crime. Cicely Tyson is in this movie, Felicia Rashad. And the lead is a woman by the name of Crystal Fox. It's a great story because she's a character actor. She was one of the young actors in Driving Miss Daisy. She was on a show called In the Heat of a Night, which was a 1980s and 90s TV series. And she's probably close to 60 years old. The first time she's ever had a lead in a movie, and she's great in this. She's the woman who's accused of murder. And this movie was filmed over a five-day period just before Christmas at Tyler Perry's new studios. He built this gigantic complex.
$250 million studio.
So when you're watching this, think about 5 days, and it's on Netflix right now. It's called Tyler Perry's A Fall from Grace. That's another possibility if you're hunkered down.
So you like it?
Yeah, 3 stars. We got a clip from it right here. The clip here is our lead woman. She's married this young, seemingly perfect guy, but maybe he's not so perfect.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I'll call you tomorrow.
Who are you talking to?
Grace.
Yeah?
There's two things I don't like.
Okay.
One is being checked up on, and the other is being questioned.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Just right after the honeymoon there, she may Grace might have married the wrong guy. Spoiler alert. But we don't know. But it's actually really good. Very solid. If you like those kind of 80s and 1990s legal thrillers where it's like an open and shut case and the media's outside there, the town has never seen the likes of this before. And they also have the scenes of like on talk radio, the talk radio host.
I would love to picture her like, what do you want for dinner? I thought you liked broccoli. What's her name?
Grace.
One thing I don't like.
Well, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. So lots of good stuff out there.
All right. So that's good, because people will be, there will be the hunkering of the down.
Yeah. And if you venture out, Bad Boys for Life is the most entertaining film in theaters and will make big money this weekend. Bad Boys for Life.
Although 90 million people are affected by this storm. I like we have to learn that statistic now. Yeah. Nothing could be local anymore. Like, even though we're suffering here on the roadways and snow, there's 89,999,999 more people who are going through it right now as we're talking about it.
It's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. That's what they said. All right. We've got Justin Kaufman going to join us here in just a moment. Tell us what's coming up on his program at the top of the hour.
Does he have a bracket on the best winter movies and it's down to the final four? I hope so.
We'll have to ask him if Christmas Vacation is better than European Vacation. Wait, hold on. What? All right, Justin Kaufman has just stepped into the studio. What's coming up?
Well, of course, we'll keep a tab on the weather and all the snow coming through the area and really keep everybody up to date on the road conditions. Vic Vaughn will be in the newsroom. We got lots to do tonight when it comes to that.
Poor Vic Vaughn, man. There was one point where I swear I thought Lauren was going to just run out of the studio.
I'm pretty sure I lost my voice.
Yeah. You did a great job today.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing I always got bummed when we no longer read the school closings. You know, now it's all technical. It's all digital. Right. You don't need the radio to do that anymore. But
so you sit and wait for it. Yeah. Wait for it. Wait for it.
As a kid, if you were listening on the radio or glued to the TV, there's the school.
Right.
There's the school. That's our school.
This is the second storm that's come through the Chicago area on a Friday night. So you don't even get the opportunity to skip school because on Saturday, of course, they don't have school.
And rush hour. Horrible time.
But, you know, back in my day. It would snow 65 inches, and they still had to have school.
It's true.
Right? And there would be a CTA strike.
Right. All
And the fire hydrants would be frozen. They go, you're going to school anyway! You don't want to be an entertainer, do you?
You learned. Look, yeah. Look where you're at now.